Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. These are obviously words from Jesus. Maybe they're familiar words for many of you. Maybe it's the Bible verse you have on your phone screen, up in your room. Very familiar words. But I wonder if we get what's actually going on here. Maybe we miss it sometimes. Let's stand back for a minute. We have Jesus, the Son of God. We see that in verse 27. He's the Son. He's God as a man. He reveals God, right? He's standing here. He's the King of the universe, holy, vast, eternal. Yet here, he's speaking, which I think is undoubtedly his most personal words that he speaks in all of the Gospels. I don't know if you noticed it there as I was saying it. Come to me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. It's constantly I, you, me, you. Do you see that? It's very personal and it's very deep. It's the real me he's talking to. Did you notice that? It's like he pierces through the veneer that we have, the outward, I come on a Sunday morning, everything's fine. Yes, how are you? I had a good week. He smashes through that and he says, no, heavy and laden. He gets to that soul part of you that is struggling. He's speaking to the real you, but he's also revealing the real him. Did you see that? I am gentle and lowly in heart. This is who I am. So he's saying, the real you, come to the real me. He's removing all of this facade. He's clearing it. It's very personal. I don't know if that makes you uncomfortable this morning, but I can say very safely this morning that Jesus is literally speaking this to you this morning. I know that because there's other parts of the Bible that says he makes his appeal through preachers. So I'm just an average man, nothing special about me, but he makes his appeal through a preacher. So he's literally here this morning by his Spirit speaking to you. These are personal words. This isn't just a sermon where you leave and I learned some nice things today. He's actually calling us to something. So that's the foundation, the introduction is this is very personal. Single yourself out. He's speaking to you this morning. So let's break this down because I believe that there are those here this morning who desperately need this. Those maybe tuning in online, desperately in need of this. So who is Jesus talking to here? That's the first question I want to think about. Who is he addressing? We saw it there. All who labor and are heavy laden. You could basically translate that to all who struggle. Are you finding life hard at the moment? But he specifies two particular aspects of our struggle, right? So the first one is labor. Now, thankfully, that's nothing to do with the political party or who you vote for. It's nothing to do with that, which I'm very glad about. It's things you're striving to accomplish in life. To be good, to be happy, to be successful. Maybe it's a particular one you're striving for. I don't know what it is. But I think the biggest one for us all is this need, this drive to be accepted and loved. Think about it. I always mention this. But social media to me is basically that. It's basically, I'm not against social media. Sometimes I give that impression. But it's basically me posting my life. What purpose? To be loved and accepted. That's what we're craving. That's what we're searching for, is someone to love me and accept me. That's what I think one of the main things we're striving for. But the point here is it's hard. That word labor is this exhausting. Are you exhausted by this striving day to day? I'm not talking about your commute to work. That's exhausting, maybe. You have to commute into London, come home. I'm talking about your 24/7 striving, the thing that keeps you awake at night. It's exhausting. Do you feel exhausted? That's what that word labor is saying. Surely, as you look out at the world, that's all we're doing. We're laboring, laboring, laboring. And Christians, we have our own version of this. You might be striving for the exact same things that everyone else is striving for. That dream home, dream family, dream life, dream kids, poster kids that everyone says, wow, you're a great parent. Or that spouse, I'm someone who's striving for something that the world is striving for. I know that all too well. But maybe there's a Christian religious version as well that we have, where it's kind of the Christian example, the reputation of the Christian or my service, or I don't know what it is, but we're striving. So pause for a minute and just ask yourself, what are you striving for at the moment? What's the thing that takes up your thought space, that keeps you awake at night? You wake up, it's on your mind, can't get back to sleep. What is it? What's the top thing? What's the thing that's on your mind? So that's labor. Heavy laden is the other aspect, though. So it's we're striving, but now the picture is things land on us as we're striving. So you're pressing through life, trying to get somewhere, and things keep landing on you. I don't know what it is for you. Loss, human loss, loved ones, that's a big one. Illness comes out of nowhere, sets you aside from your striving. Breakups, abuse, mental health, the list goes on. I think the heaviest of all is guilt. Surely, if anyone has felt guilt in this room, I would say guilt is the heaviest thing anyone can experience. I'm someone who experienced a weight of guilt before I became a Christian. It was debilitating. I couldn't live, I couldn't sleep. Guilt is the heaviest of heavy things that land on us in life. Things I should have done but didn't do. Things I shouldn't have done but did do. Maybe there's that one sin, that one thing you did you can never forget. I don't know what it is, but we're guilt heavy. So again, we see that in the world. I think the world is just great at covering up guilt. We don't talk about guilt much, but I think we've just become very good at masking it or distracting ourselves. But again, Christians, David in Psalm 32, he is a believer who is living in a state of guilt and unconfessed sin. Do you know what he says? It sounds exactly like labor and heavy laden. He describes what it was like, and he says, my strength was dried up as the heat of summer. That sounds like laboring. I've got no strength. I'm trying to live. And then he says, your hand was heavy upon me. Heavy labor. David experienced it as a believer. So this is very relevant to Christians here this morning. So again, pause for a minute. What's the heaviest thing weighing you down at the moment that maybe no one else knows? Maybe there's someone sitting here with a weight that they're struggling to carry. No one has a clue. I don't know what it is for you. Just think about that. Personalize this. Do you see the picture? The picture Jesus has painted for us is someone who is laboring through life with all this weight on them. Picture those runners. I've never understood them. It's hard enough to run. They've got a backpack with weight. I saw a guy running up Snowdon as if it's casual. That's what we do every day. We've got weight on us and we're trying to strive through life. It's a horrible combination. If I was striving, that would be hard enough. But I've got this weight as well. Do you feel it? This is a very broad call from Jesus. I believe he doesn't specify it for a reason. He doesn't get too specific, but specific enough. It includes us all this morning, Christian, non-Christian. But I really want to make this point. It's very specific at the same time. I've said it's not that specific. Sounds like I'm contradicting myself. But it's very specific because he's saying, do you feel it? That's the point here. We read the wider passage earlier a little bit. He's just spent time denouncing the wise and understanding, right? Who are they? They're the ones that say, I'm fine, thank you, life's all right. I can handle life by myself. I don't need you, Jesus. I'm clever, I'm wise. He's just denounced them, and then he turns and says, I'm talking to you, little children, those who are struggling to cope with life. So I'm addressing particularly people this morning who are say, maybe you said it. I don't know if you say this out loud sometimes. I can't do this anymore. Has that left your lips? I sometimes say it to myself. I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. It's you that Jesus is addressing. Are you at the end of yourself this morning? Have you just about made it here? Are you struggling to keep it together? That's who Jesus is particularly addressing. those who know it and feel it. Now, you might hate the fact that you feel like that. You might look around and think that everyone's strong and they have it together and you're there struggling. Why am I so guilty all the time? Why am I bothered about these things? Why can't I stop thinking? Why this? Why that? Can I say that it's good that you feel like that? Because it's the first step to change. Do you know that nothing changed in my life until I realized I was heavy laden and laboring? Nothing changed. As long as I was Mr. Happy-go-lucky and I'm fine, nothing changed. But the minute I felt it, the minute I couldn't go on, was where Jesus came in and I finally listened. So if you're feeling that this morning, it's good. But the second question then, who is Jesus talking to? The struggling. What does Jesus offer the struggling? What's he offering you this morning? One word, rest. Rest. Now that isn't more sleep. I know some of you would love maybe more sleep, a bit more sleep. It's better. It's a rest for your souls. Did you see it there, verse 29? You will find rest for your souls. He's talking about that deeper part of you inside. That's where you need rest, because that's where you're striving. That's where you're heavy, and you can't quite get to it, can you? It's inside you. You can't reach there. It's your soul. Jesus is saying, I can give you rest there. That's what he's offering. It's an amazing thing that he's offering. It's a deep peace within. No more noise inside. No more fears. No more weight. When I say no more fears, you'll still be afraid of things, but it won't affect you in the same way. There'll be this rest. A constant peace that isn't dependent on things around you. Do you know that the only peace the world knows is when everything's okay and going the way they want? The minute something doesn't, they're all over the place. But this is a peace that stays no matter what, in the worst of times. And it's one that lasts forever. It's soul rest. This is heavenly. This is an offer of heaven now and forever. Now, this is huge, but it's so alien, isn't it? So maybe it doesn't connect with you. It doesn't resonate, but it's what you need. We don't know this. There's no peace within. I think the biggest evidence of that to me is a very simple one. Why can't I just sit still for 5 minutes by myself? Maybe some of you find that okay. Why do I always need some sort of distraction? Why do I always need some sort of noise in the background? Why can't I just sit in my own company content? That tells me there's something not right. There's no soul rest. I'm constantly having to distract myself from this noise within me. Is that you? This is something we're all seeking and many are trying to offer, yet it's Jesus who says, come to me. I will give it. It's very exclusive, this claim. Very exclusive. So the next question is, why is this rest found in coming to Jesus? Why Jesus? Firstly, this bit's really, really important. We must understand why we are so exhausted and heavy and restless in the first place. Why is it? Why is it like this? Do you know it wasn't always like this? According to the Bible, the beginning of humanity, it was not like this. Adam and Eve, with God, what was their experience? Rest. There was work for them to do. God had given them work, but it wasn't this toil and this labor that we're doing. They had no weight on them. None of these weights that we have, they were free. They didn't have death, guilt, suffering. The list goes on. There was no fear. Imagine a life where there was no fear, no guilt. They just had perfect rest within. Imagine that. That's what our beginning of humanity was. How did it get like this then? Genesis 3. It was the minute they walked out on God and tried to go it alone. That's where this came from. It's what the Bible calls sin. So yes, I don't know how you picture sin in your mind. Of course, it's breaking commandments. It's stealing. It's lying. That's how it works itself out. But there's a heart thing to sin. And it's me trying to go my life by myself. That's what they did that day. It's me doing that to God. My life, my way. in my own strength, for me. That's basically sin. That's where the rest went, was the minute we did that. And do you know, you see it in Genesis 3, everything changed the minute they walked out on God. They're suddenly toiling now. God says, you're going to toil now. It's going to be hard labor for you. They're striving now, and they're striving by themselves. And they're actually, I'm going to make in this argument, they're really striving to get back where they were. That's what our striving is for. We're trying to strive back to where we were. God's acceptance, God's love. That's where our striving came from. And they're heavy now because they're living this life without God with all this weight that wasn't meant to be there. We weren't made to carry that. It's too much. Death. Who can handle death? Who can handle guilt? Well, that's all our weights now because we walked out on God. Do you see? That's where it changed. Your rest issue is a sin issue. That's basically the point. Life with God is rest. Life without God, no rest. In fact, heaven itself, how is that described in the Bible? Eternal rest with God, right? What's hell described like in the Bible? Weeping, gnashing of teeth, turmoil, torment away from God. You see the point? Your rest issue is a sin issue at its heart. Does it make sense? Has it clicked? We need God if we're ever going to be at rest. Do you see now why Jesus is the answer? Verse 27 is key. If Jesus was just an ordinary man, just another religious leader, he could not give us rest because he can't get us. Ordinary religious leaders cannot get you back to God. But the very fact here in verse 27 is he says, I am the Son, the only one who knows the Father, and I can reveal the Father to you. He's basically saying, I can bring you back. The gap closed. That's the heart here. That's the issue. He can bring you back to God, and that's why he can give rest. How does he do it? Well, it links to those two words, labor and heavy laden. He labors. He lives the life I should have lived. He earns my acceptance with God. No more laboring for me. Do you see? He's heavy laden. Where does he take it all? The cross. I'm amazed at this. Just imagine the weight that I carry, times it by all the weight that you carry, sins, guilt, shame, death, suffering, loneliness, and then times it by everyone who would ever believe, and he takes it all in one moment at the cross. All of our weights. He takes it on himself. It's taken off me. It lands on him. He takes everything. He's forsaken. He's facing hell, death, guilt. He says, why have you forsaken me? He's drowning in the depths, way down. It's off me now. Do you see? And what does he cry on the cross? It is finished, paid, done, complete. Your weight's gone. Your striving, finished. It's done. I've done it. Everything needed. And 3 days later, he rises and you can see it proved. Wow, it really was accepted. This is real. He's risen. And he says, come to me and find rest. Do you see? That's how he gives rest. All because of love, by the way. What love. To know that you're loved by God is rest. So that's why it's Jesus. But now a really important question. How do I actually find this rest in Jesus? I say that because most of you here probably knew all of that, right? You know that Jesus gives rest. You've heard it. You know what he did on the cross. But what's your life like? Are you living in rest? All of us here? Am I living in rest? Does my life say that I found rest in Jesus? That's the test. It's all well knowing it, all in your head. Am I living it? Is my life light and easy? Or is it heavy and burdened? That's the test to know whether you're living in this rest. Sadly, for many of us Christians, it's fleeting, this rest. Maybe some of you here have never known it because you've never actually come to Christ. So this is the question, how? And he tells us, he gives 3 key steps to find this rest in Christ. Did you see it there? Come to me, verse 28. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you, that's step 2. And learn from me. 3 steps. Come to me, take my yoke upon you, learn from me. Before we try and explain those, I first must explain that word yoke. Do you know, when I first started coming to APC, and I used to hear about this yoke, I honestly thought it was talking about eggs. I didn't have a clue what that had to do with me having rest. So we must explain what that word yoke is. It's Y-O-K-E, not eggs. It's basically a wooden bar that you would lay upon two animals to pull a heavy load. Do you see the picture? Jesus all along has been saying, this is us. You're like an animal pulling this heavy load, a yoke on your neck. You're serving some sort of master and you don't realize it. And you're pulling something very heavy and you've got this thing around your neck. That's what he's been saying all along. So the first step then is come to me. Come to me, Jesus says. The picture is this. I've been going over here, living life by myself, yoke around my neck, pulling all these weights. He says, stop going that way. Come to me. You don't need to strive anymore, he says. I've lived the life you should have lived. I kept the laws. You can be accepted in me. That's what he's saying. Stop your striving. He says, stop. Come to me. Then he says, you don't need to carry that weight anymore that you're carrying. I died on the cross for all that. Whatever weight you're carrying around, lay it upon me again. If you've taken it back, give it again. I take burdens. My cross is the proof of that. Give it all. Don't walk with weight anymore. Jesus is the weight taker. I don't know what to call it. He died for this. All those sins you're carrying around, all those regrets. And we need to believe him. That's what we're called to. That's what coming to him is. But it's more than just believing and saying, right, yep, I believe Jesus does that. You must come, he says. Make it personal. Say, I'm not going to strive anymore. That's it. I'm done with trying to be good enough. I'm done with trying to live life myself. That's it. Jesus, I'm coming to you. Make it personal. Give him everything. All those weights inside, tell him them. As Gerard said, I think it was last week, breathe it out to him. Let it out of your soul. Breathe it to him. Talk to him. Pray. Give him everything. All those weights in your soul at the moment. That's what coming to him is. You could picture it like this. Falling, the trust game. Falling back exhausted and trusting he will catch you. That's something of what it is to come to Jesus. That's faith. Have you done that? Have you ever done that? You're wondering why you haven't got rest. Or do you need to do it again? Have you taken all the weights back? Has it been as though he's never taken the weights of you? Come again. So that's the first step. Come to me. But there's more. Many stop at step one and they think that's fine. There's step two. Take my yoke upon you, he says. This is important because Jesus is not just a savior to take your sins away. He's Lord. He's King of Kings. So when you're coming to him, you're coming under him now. It's not you living life back your way again. That's where it all went wrong. So you have to come under him. That means you have to take the yoke of your neck. What's your yoke? It's basically my life, my rules, my desire, doing what I want when I want, for my glory, my reputation. He says, take that all off. Don't go that way anymore. That way doesn't give any rest. I think we know that. Take my yoke upon you, he says, which means you take a new yoke. It's his. So his way, his desires now, his will, his help. He helps me now. I'm not relying on myself anymore. Do you see? It's him now. He's Lord, not me. That's basically what this one's saying. Take my yoke upon you. I think this one's so important. I think this is where probably most of us go wrong. We keep trying to pull back my way again as if his yoke's not on me. We like the forgiveness bit. That's great. Yeah. But I don't have rest yet because I haven't taken his yoke upon me. There's a third step though. Learn from me, he says. So the picture continues. I've come to him. I've got his yoke on me now. But what's a yoke again? Two. There's two parts to it. So now I'm walking with him. It's for two people. So that's now capturing a life with Jesus. Walking with him, learning from him. I'm looking to him. What do I do here, Jesus? looking at his life, reading. Okay, you did that. You're like this. Okay, I'm going to try and be like you. I'm listening to his commands. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Go and tell others about me. He's got commands. So when I'm listening, I'm not just listening, I'm trying to do them. Do you see? It's a life of walking with Jesus. He's leading, not me. I'm the student. He's the teacher. I think often we try and do it the other way around. He needs to learn from me. I think this, I'm going to do this. Isn't the modern church doing that? I don't like the bit where Jesus says that. He needs to listen to our culture. So we're going to just change that and change that. That's not rest. Learn from him. I'm the student. That's why I think he speaks about the wise and understanding. They're not willing to learn from him. Are you? Are you going to humbly sit at his feet and do whatever he says? That's the call here. I think it's challenging. Come, take, learn. I think there's one word at the heart of all of those three things. Surrender. This is talking about a life completely surrendered to Jesus. That's where rest is found. Have you found that in your life? I can honestly stand before you and say, the most rest I've known in my life is when I've been most surrendered to Jesus. The most unrest I've had is the most I've tried to resist and pull this way. So this is calling you to a surrender. We sung it earlier, perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Saviour am happy and blessed. Is this the reason for our lack of rest? Have I refused to surrender to Christ? I think it makes sense that this is the issue because surrender is very hard. Surely, to surrender, I'm going to have to trust him. I wonder if the reason why we don't surrender is a trust issue. I don't trust giving him my life because I don't trust him. This is why I love what he says next. Do you see it there after he says, learn from me? For I am gentle and lowly in heart. Do you see what he's saying there? You can trust me. I'm not like the world that has crushed you and let you down. The world might have been abusive to you. The world might have been aggressive towards you. You might have tried to open up to someone and they crushed you. Jesus says, I'm gentle. Gentle. Doesn't mean he's weak. This isn't we thank that he's not weak. He's strong. He's God Almighty. He can lift any weight from you. We need strength because we've got heavy weights. It's not talking about weakness. It's talking about he's strong, but his touch with you is gentle. He doesn't force you. He doesn't push you this way. He gets you. He understands you. He's sensitive to who you are. He knows you. You can be safe with him. You can open up to him and trust that he'll be gentle in his dealing with you. That's a beautiful picture there. And then what else is the world like? Very proud, looking down on you. You're afraid to surrender anything because they're up here and you're down there. What does he say? I'm lowly, gentle and lowly. He comes down to where you are. That's what it's saying. He's lowly. He's easy to approach. You don't have to act. You can be yourself. And do you know that's one of my favorite things since being a Christian that I've discovered about Christ? Do you know Jesus is the only one who I've told everything to? The embarrassing stuff. I've been able to be completely myself with him. Do you know that? I don't think we're ever completely ourselves with anyone. I haven't been married, so I can't say. Maybe in marriage it's different. But I think there's always a me I'm presenting to someone. I'm never completely myself. The only time I've ever been completely myself is with Christ. I tell him everything. I look like an absolute fool, but I know he's gentle and lowly. Do you see the point? He's drawing you in. He's drawing you in. He knows it's hard to surrender. He's saying, I'm gentle, I'm lowly. And this is why he goes on to say, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. When you follow Jesus, there is still a yoke. There's still something around your neck. There's still work to do. There's still a calling. There's still commandments. There's still go and preach the gospel. There's all these things to do. And in fact, it's often harder, isn't it? His standard is high. He says, forget even just adultery. That's bad enough, but don't even lust. Their standard is high. It's a hard calling, but yet it's easy because he's with me. He's walking with me. He loves me. I'm already accepted, so I'm not striving for his acceptance. Everything I do, I'm already loved. Do you see? It's easy in that sense. And he says, it's light. My burden's light. Yes, there's still a burden. There's going to be things that land on you in the Christian life that everyone else is going through, illnesses, loss, maybe even worse, persecution. But it's light because I'm with you. I'm carrying it with you. I'm giving you strength to carry it that wasn't there before by my Spirit. Do you see? So it's easy and light. I hope it makes sense. Let's stand back for a minute. What's Jesus offering you this morning? Rest? Yes. But we need to see the picture. It's you and God walking together again, like you were made to. That's the offer here. It's you opening your heart to God and him knowing you deeply, and him opening his heart to you and revealing himself. This close relationship is being offered. That's why there's rest. It's what you were made for. Augustine says it may be so one of the best. He says, you made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. That's what's being offered here. Can I spell it out? The offer to you this morning is rest in the heart of God as you come into the arms of Jesus. Isn't that a lovely picture offered to all of you this morning? Rest is the byproduct. It's into the arms of Jesus where you find it. That's what is being offered. So final question. Will you actually come? It's the one goal of this talk. This talk, this sermon, will make no difference until you do. It will make no difference to your life knowing this information unless you actually act upon it. And I'm saying that because I really believe Jesus is appealing you to come. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to be faithful to this text unless I appeal to you too. So I might feel a bit uncomfortable, but there has to be some appeal in here because that's what he's doing. His heart and soul is in this. He's actually pleading with you to come. Did you notice that? It came after he declared judgment on those who didn't come. Verses 20 to 24. Then he turns and says, you come. It's an appeal in the light of rejection. He's saying, don't reject. Don't think you're fine by yourself. Christian, don't keep going by yourself. Come. There's an appeal here. So I'm going to start with Christians. We draw to a close. You've come before. You've surrendered, haven't you? You've tasted this rest. But how are you now? How is your Christian life now? Are you constantly striving, always heavy, never at rest? Isn't that an alert that something's wrong, according to this? If that's your experience as a Christian, something's wrong, because we should be, according to this, light and easy. I'm not saying it's an easy life. There's hard things, but the experience of those hard things is light and easy, and there's rest. If I'm not experiencing that, something's off. I've either stopped surrendering, I've stopped taking his yoke. There's something that's gone wrong along the way. Do you know what that is for you? I don't know what it is for you. But I'm appealing to you to come again. To Christians here, if you've been striving for a name, a reputation, a dream, put the striving down, come to him and surrender all. And he may give you that very thing. I don't know. But put it down and come back to him and surrender. I'm speaking to myself. Believers weighed down with cares and trials, illnesses. I don't know what's hit. As illness has struck our church. Oh, give that burden of the illness to him. The illness might not go away, but the experience of it will be different. Those here this morning, Christians who are stuck in sin, I wouldn't be surprised if there were some secret things going on. Look, and you haven't told him, and you've tried to get on as if everything's okay, but it's not. Go to him and tell him. Leave nothing unsaid. Forget the lunch. This is more important than food. Go and tell him now after the service. Christians, this is for us. But also, I want to appeal to one or two others here. Maybe you're here and this is new to you. You're new to this, but you're drawn by it. You know you need rest. You know you're not the person you should be, and you know that Jesus is calling you. It's very simple for you this morning. Come to him for the first time and actually talk to him and say, Lord, I've heard about this rest. I know I'm not the person I should be. I'm a sinner. I'm giving my weights to you. I'm stopping my striving, trying to be the person that I should be, and I'm trusting you. Will you do that? One more person I want to speak to. Maybe you've been near this for a while. You know this. You're actually very close. You believe, kind of. I think I believe. But you haven't actually come. Nothing's changed yet because you're very close, but you haven't actually come. Will you do it? It's a step of faith. It's scary. But will you say to Jesus, even today, this is it. I'm coming. I'm putting my life in your hands. My sins, my life, everything. No more my way, yours. Whatever it means, I surrender. Will you do that? Rest awaits us all. Every single one of us in this room. We just need to come. So let's sing our final hymn. I heard the voice of Jesus say, hymn number 579.